just come back from Kyrgyzstan, which is a frontier of gospel mission. Welcome back.
Hello, everybody. It is so good just to be back here and to be with all of you. So I got back last week Saturday. The trip was really incredible. It's so hard to sort of break it down, but I think God just showed us just his incredible faithfulness to us and just his incredible kindness and goodness through the trip. And I think for me it just really helped to change my mindset and to set my mind just on eternity and just how so much of our everyday life is temporary, but to actually just spend just time and energy on investing into eternity, investing into the people and the places that we'll take with us. It was also just so heartbreaking, actually, just to see the strongholds of just different religions over this country. And just so grateful for the freedom that we have in South Africa, the freedom that we get to meet here as a people, as one body, and worship Jesus. When we were there, we were worshiping God just in this little apartment building, and they were saying just for safety reasons, they have to praise God with half their volumes and all of their hearts. And so it was just such a blessing actually to be here this morning and for everyone just to worship God with all of our hearts and all of our volumes. And so it was really incredible and such a gift.
Hold on. Let's give it to you. Morning, everybody. It's so good to be here and nice to see your wonderful faces. And just to hear these beautiful testimonies of the guys going to Zimbabwe and to the other side. Daniel's still in Kyrgyzstan, and I'm sure we'll come back pumped and full of vision and passion and the zeal of God. Amen. Just to let you know, Cutty is not here. She's in England. I didn't really share with the church, which I guess I feel a little bit bad about, but my daughter did get engaged to an Englishman. And it's been quite an amazing journey to bring up a daughter. And the reason Cutty went is he's an Englishman. His name is Adam Hughes. And they're going to get married in July in England after the Albania sort of leadership time. But they got legally married last night. And so we chatted to her on Thursday night and just before. And we sensed a bit of tenderness, and Adam's father asked if Cutty could come and be there for the. So they had to, they got legally married to sign a register so that he can apply for a spousal visa to come and live in South Africa in Cape Town. So Cutty went off there, and in an old church of more than 100 years old, they signed the register to be legally married. They're not ceremonially married yet. That'll happen in July. But I'm just telling you all that. So that's where she is. And so thank you. I did get rebuked by members of my family. Why didn't I go? So I said, well, I'm not a billionaire yet, but and a wedding in England. But and we're also preaching. That's right, Mikey. So praise God to be here. I love this church. I love the worship this morning. I felt we were a song short, Tools. I don't know if Mervyn cut you out or what happened, but I thought it's so in keeping with the text. And I've been to many churches. I remember when I got saved, I both loved worship and also used to think, why are they singing the song 30 times? And I used to sometimes get distressed, but I just been to many different churches, and worship is generally difficult. It's not that easy, but man, this morning I just thought, so good. Eight-piece band, not flashy, not drawing attention, not showmanship, but exaltation of the one. Man, I tell you, guys, on that day, whenever that day is, whatever that day is, please come to the front and worship Jesus. We're practicing for that great day when every tribe and every tongue and every kindred will be shouting in their different languages the wonders and the glory of God. And it's part of our healing to worship God, amen? We very sort of, we can be very, but come on, let's be stricken. Let's worship God with all of our hearts and all of our souls and all of our minds. We have had our hearts changed. Amen. And so I want to talk to you this morning out of, preach to you out of Isaiah 26. The context of Isaiah 26 is a song of praise. How's that? Isn't that amazing, eh, Mikey? So that box is alive. Eh? It's going to, and so, you know, we, I'm not one that preaches a lot on worship, but Isaiah is the most intriguing prophetic book. This is the guy that had a lot to say because Israel was behaving terribly, and he was the prophet that said, woe to this and woe to that and woe are you. And he had, I think, I don't know how many woes, maybe seven or six great woes in the beginning. And then he has an encounter with God in the throne room, as it were. And he sees the glory of the Lord, seats it on the throne, high and lifted up. And the angels and the seraphim singing holy. And he suddenly realizes who he is. And he says, woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips. And I am ruined, or I am doomed, or I am finished. I am dead. And then an angel takes a coal from the altar and touches his lips and atones for his sin or cleanses him. And he once again is smitten by God and the passion, as the girls were saying, just like, got to do this thing, you know. And the Lord says, who will go? And he says, here am I. Who will go for us? And he says, here am I, send me. And it's an intriguing book of prophecy. People are incredibly obstinate, incredibly difficult. Israel is wayward. The nations are wayward. This prophet's got one heck of a job. And by the way, they won't actually listen to your message, but go and tell them anyway. And often, as ministers of the word, we speak, and sometimes there's no result. Sometimes there are amazing results. So let's turn to Isaiah 26. I hope I didn't say Psalm 26. Did I say Isaiah? Well done, Nick. Sometimes my mind wanders around. Saint Augustine of Hippo, he said a lot of things. One of the famous things he said, which I totally love, is he said, the New Testament is in the Old Testament concealed or hidden. The New Testament is in the Old Testament hidden. It's concealed. And the Old Testament is in the New Testament revealed. Okay? Not that difficult to remember. So the New Testament is in the old hidden. Isaiah is the one that if you, now we know, because it's revealed in the New Testament what he was saying. And the Old Testament is in the new, we see what the Exodus is about. We see who King David is. He's a type of Jesus. We see who Moses is. He's a greater and a better Jesus. And so we have Isaiah, greater and a better. Other way around. Thank you, Mikey. And so Isaiah 24 is judgment. Isaiah 25 is blessing. Isaiah 26 is just a song or a redemption or a hope or a messianic promise. Where we're going, how it's going to be, what we need to do. There's a lot there. It's very hard to condense it. The desire of our hearts as an eldership team is that we would all be competent ministers of the gospel. So what Chris said is he went up to Vic Falls and he sent the guys on mission, and some of them had never ministered before. What are we to do? We would all be competent ministers of the gospel. Amen? We don't want to have a professional clergy and a watching laity. We want all of us to be a priesthood of believers, okay? We want to get, understand that through you and through me, through every one of us, Christ is making his appeal. I can't say, well, go to Mikey because like I'm a bad guy, like I'm not a good Christian, like no, don't come to me. No, we all, Christ is making his appeal through all of us, okay? That we would all understand how the kingdom works. I'm amazed at how some people, and I hope it doesn't sound arrogant, but even church leadership, people say, well, I'm all hurt about church leadership. No, we need to understand how what the church is. That the leaders, even in the Bible, thinking like Moses, you would never choose Moses. I mean, who would have chosen Moses, who had a temper problem, who had killed a man? And so I've vowed with my lips and my brain and my heart never to blame any leader. Amen? I will never blame any leader. because I have access to Christ, the leader. If I blame leaders, and I hear people in the streets of the greater Durban area, well, you know, like this guy and that guy, I'm thinking, how did that happen? That we actually take responsibility for our faith, that we understand the kingdom, how it works. We understand mission. We understand grace. I have grace applied, and I apply grace to others, particularly in our marriages, in our close relationships, that we would all become mature in Jesus. Amen? Our job is not to become greater, more skilled ministers. Our job is to make sure that the body of Christ matures. Amen? So sometimes we want to have our gifts or our ministries on display, and we've got this incredible ministry. We write these amazing books. We get invites all over the world, and we have a big ego and a big profile, only to see it collapse in a heap of sin. Rather than saying, no, I'm just here for myself. You know, forgive me for a moment, but maybe just for us and this few of us here, but, you know, if it's Nick Hardy Ministries, just be a little bit careful. And I understand it might be that, God forbid, but let his name, Nick Hardy Ministries, well, there are some gifts that he may have or that Mervyn may have, that God gives us gifts, but those gifts, but it's shrouded in humanity. So there's a lot of humanity, a clay around the gift. So the gift is on display, and then we suddenly think this guy is amazing or this woman is amazing. Now, their gift is amazing. God, through them, is amazing. And they may be good people, but there's also brokenness and pride and lack of faith, amen, and disobedience and temper tantrums, amen, and comparisons. And so let his name, let us all rise up into Christ and proclaim his name. Amen. As this lady once said to me in the foyer, you know, Nick, you're amazing. I said, no, I'm not. She says, no, you really are amazing. I thought, I'm not amazing. Jesus is amazing. Amen. Go and ask Cutty if I'm amazing. She'll say, He has some qualities. He's trying to be a good husband. He's just a human being, man, that will soon be in the grave. The reason I'm saying that, guys, is because, you know, we our sin causes us to blame one another. Blame our wife for the way I am, my husband. Amen? Just get to your notes, Nick. In that day, I don't want to say this, that we're a multi-generational church. I've watched five generations, my grandparents, my parents, me, us, our children, and hopefully soon our grandchildren. I will look across five generations in my lifetime and see how God works. See, understand the things of God. Amen. Let's bring up our children in the ways of God. May not be easy. In that day, Psalm Isaiah 26, verse 1, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We are a singing, worshiping, praising people. It's in the Bible. David had a 24-hour shout aloud, rejoice, tell, oh, my soul, don't you get down on me. What's that song? We are a rejoicing, singing people. Amen. We are not an introspective, like in some parts of the Western world. No one talks to one another. Like, gee, it's amazing that your bus is on time. I remember saying that in Switzerland. This lady said, don't talk to me. You said in Africa, and they'll say, yeah, so cool. We're an hour late, but things are good here. We are a flowing river people, amen? We are not a, don't talk to me. Don't invade my space. We are a loving, rejoicing, proclaiming, in that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. Here's the song. We have a strong city. We have a strong Jerusalem. Now, that can be taken in many ways, and I need space here to be able to say, God is building his strong city church, amen? I believe in the nations. I don't believe being obsessed with Pinetown or Durban or KwaZulu-Natal. We are here to care for her, but we are a nation's people. We have a strong city. From a garden to a city, there will be a city. The New Jerusalem was a city, but Jerusalem is over. God says, forget Jerusalem, go to all the nations. But the city is the community of God. We have a strong city. We've got 200 years of evidence that Jesus is building his church. I have even people today, because I'm a pastor, say to me, well, I'm giving up on the church. I don't know what's happened to the church. Rubbish. The church is stronger than she's ever been. Do you know that there are more Christians now than there have ever been? There are more churches now than there have ever been. Yes, some churches are diminishing. But the church of Jesus Christ, he said, I will build my church. And so we have a strong city. Never purpose in your heart, even if the church struggles, even if there's another scandal, even if the church halves. They all left Jesus. They all left Jesus en masse. They all fell away on account of him. He's still building his church. Because if I fall away, guess what? Somebody else will arise up. God will stir the heart of another, and he will cause this church to be built. Amen? So we have a strong city. God makes salvation and its walls and ramparts. Now, let me try and explain that. This city, this amazing city, is a city of salvation. Its walls and ramparts, or its ramparts, could be its bulk works or its battlements, its defensive structures, is salvation. That city, in order to get into that city, that's a strong city, you've got to be saved. It's for the redeemed, okay? But God wants everyone to be redeemed. But that city, because it has Jesus in it, is a city of salvation. So what happened to the church? It became a club. Or what happened, I remember as I used to go to church every Sunday, I was not saved. I used to go, used to be intrigued, used to be frustrated, didn't want to go. Went to go and look at the girls, all sorts of stupid things. My dad didn't want to go to church because they used to speak politics, and he thought it shouldn't be politics in the church. But there was no salvation. But this city is one, he makes its walls, its ramparts, its embattlements, it's those things that they lay down to get into the city, salvation. I will build my church. I myself will be a wall of fire around it, Zechariah chapter 2, verse 5, declares the Lord, and I will be its glory within. The whole idea of the church is he saves. The whole idea of Israel, the reason that God didn't just take a nation like the Persians or the Babylonians or the Hittites, he said, I'll show you that I will take a slave people and I will transport them, and this will be a saved people. There won't be a people that have grown through their intellect and through years and years of industrialization. There are people that are totally incarcerated. They have a slave master. I will, with my own right hand, reach out, pull them across into a land that I will give them. They will be my people. They will worship me. I will give them rain. I will give them cattle. The woman must carry. It'll be a story, but it'll be a city. It'll be a nation that says, God saves. We're a people. So Nick, I'd like to introduce you. I'm going to meet some people now and with my whole new English world, in-laws. What are you? You mean, what do I do? Like, I'm a pastor. And I want them to all know. And actually, it's amazing that she's marrying a Christian man and the parents are on fire for Jesus. I want to tell them that I got saved. I want everyone to know that I'm part of a story of salvation. How about you? That's the city of God. Red Point Church, we need to see people saved. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, I'm saying to you, Jesus wants to save you. It's the most glorious and the best thing that can ever happen to you, that he wants to save you. Amen? They overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. They overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb. That's what Francis preached about. Behold the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb, who takes away the sin of the world, and the word of the testimony. The testimony is not just of how I got saved, but my testimony is I want to tell you about Jesus. The testimony, your testimony is your salvation, but it's also, the blood of Christ washed me. I have no, he washed my sins away. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter. This is the picture. This is how God has given us a picture. Open the gates, tear the veil. Open the gate that the righteous nation, that doesn't mean that it's righteousness by works, but it's righteousness. It's like a festival procession. They had to come to Jerusalem three times a year, to the city of salvation three times a year, or the temple where God is, the Jerusalem, and they would open the gates that the righteous, those who have been made righteous by God, it's not self-righteous, amen? The qualification to enter into the city is repentance from my sin. The qualification is that I recognize that I need Jesus to save me. The qualification that I didn't want to do is humble myself, admit that I was a sinner, even though I thought I wasn't such a bad guy, but now I'm told more and more as I get older what a bad guy I was as a kid. But I actually want to say, Lord, I humble myself. I admit. I turn around. I put my faith in you. I trust you. I can't save myself. I'm lost. I put my faith in your finished work on the cross. Then the door opens. Remember the thief on the cross? He said, the one guy said, come on, get us down from here, but. The other one said, hey, easy, but, easy. Can you remember me when you come into your Father's kingdom? Which he's saying, you are the Son of God, because you going into your Father, there's something about you. Would you remember me? He said, today I will open the gates and you will be with me in paradise. Salvation is for those that have humbled themselves. Salvation is for those that say, Jesus, I accept you as my Messiah. Salvation, there's a register at the book, at the door, sorry, at the gate. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to encourage you this morning. You might have thought, hey, the Lord, I'm sure he's blotted my name out. I'm sure he's sometimes crossed that name out. Put Tippex. No Tippex in heaven. No Tippex. That actually it's there. He keeps me. You don't keep yourself. He keeps you. He didn't tipex you. And we're a people that repents. The righteous nature, the righteous nation may come in. It's a city that is given. It is not a city that is built by human hands. It is a city that is given. Amen. The church, I will build my church. And isn't that beautiful? What's the basis of Jesus building his church? The basis of Jesus building his church is you are the Messiah, you are the Son of the living God. Okay, Peter, listen carefully. On this truth, on your revelation of who I am, I will build my church. No, you're a Messiah. You're not David, you're not Elijah, you're not one of the prophets, you're not Jeremiah, you are the Son, you are Messiah, promised one, the Son of the living God. Okay, on that I will build my church. God will use you to build his church if you have a revelation of Jesus. The righteous nation are for those that have said, Lord, I need to make right with you this morning. Who needs to make right with God that you can enter the righteous nation? Is there anybody here that needs to make right with God? Is there anybody here that says, no, I need to make right with God? It's those that have said yes to the free offer. The nation that keeps faith. Again, we read these and we think, like I haven't kept the faith that well. The nation that keeps faith, the Bible says. That what does that mean? That the nation that keep believing in Jesus. But brothers and sisters, we all go through a valley of doubt. We all question some things. We all have our moments of testing. We all have the valley of Baca, the valley of tears on our pilgrimage. It's a place of tears. Even though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death. Where are you, God? The psalmist crying out to God. The nation that keeps faith. It's not law-keeping. It's not self-righteous. It's not goody-goodies. It's like a Joshua Caleb. The two guys that came out of Egypt, the only two guys that went in, are the two guys that said, I think God has said it, so we believe it. You want to go over to Canaan and see those giants, those Nephilim, those monstrous soldiers, and us little pipsqueak, half emaciated, desert wandering ex-slaves. It's not, no contest. But our God has said, that God that parted the seas, that God that passed over with his angel of death, that spared us if we had the blood of the Lamb, that one that just crushed the armies of Pharaoh that tried to kill us. They started killing all the babies, and that was enough for God. Said, okay, now that's enough. That God will get us through to the other side. That keeps the faith. Mottier that writes this beautiful volume on Isaiah, forget his first name. He says, they don't turn the Lord's ways upside down. They keep the faith. They keep the Lord's ways. You will keep in perfect peace. I'm just going to the text. The idea is that I've prepared this text so that you can also go yourself and you can prepare this text for yourself. The idea is not that I dazzle you with my preaching, and I don't particularly think I'm a great preacher at all, but the idea is that you would take the text and you would open the text, all the life group leaders, all the saints, that you would go and say, okay, I want, you know, I've spent 3 days in this text. 3 days I've been looking, listening, reading, studying, rereading, thinking, praying. Guess what? This text begins to get inside of you, amen? So it says, he will keep in perfect him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. All the judgment, the nations, Israel, and Isaiah brings it down to us personally. You will keep in perfect shalom, him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. He keeps, you don't keep yourself. He will keep. What you have to do is get your mind right. Amen? His promise is to keep. We don't have to keep ourselves. When you feel that you are being lost, when you're drifting, when you are slip-sliding away, when you are perhaps backsliding, you need to say, Lord, I'm slipping. Lord, I'm losing my footing. Lord, I'm not happy with some of the things in my heart. I'm not happy with what I'm doing. I'm not happy with what I'm thinking. Lord, keep me. Amen? Do you think he won't? If I get a call from one of my kids, one's 30, one's 28, help. I mean, we just saw our daughter was a little bit tender after a call. Mom, a lot of money later in England. They're the two of them at the airport. Do you think we won't, as broken, fragile parents, keep? I just get messages, thank you so much, thank you. She needed her mom and her dad, but maybe more her mom. He keeps. Keep me. Perfect peace, translated peace, peace. And read all the Jewish commentaries, and perfect peace means peace, peace. It's like a double affirmative, amen? True peace, not pseudo, not temporary, not worldly peace. My peace I give to you. Excluding every disturbing element, he will keep in perfect peace. He whose mind is steadfast. To be made new in the attitude. Now, he keeps in peace, but I've got to stay with him. Guys, why do you think we don't all want to drift or get fed up sometimes? Or say, Lord, I was sure you were going to heal that person. I don't know why my business collapsed. I don't know why I'm sick. And so it goes on, and we begin to doubt God. We begin to be circumstantial Christians. Our belief is based on our circumstances. If I have a lot of money, then I love God and he's so good, but then my money drifts me from God. If I have no money, then I'm saying, where is God? And so we live circumstantial lives to be made new in the attitude of your minds. We demolish arguments here. My mind must be steadfast. I need to demolish arguments and every pretension, 2 Corinthians 10:5, that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. That's a huge, huge passage of scripture that was thumped into us as new believers. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I need a new husband. That is a thought from the devil. You need to bring that into captivity. I need a new wife. I need a new nation. I need a new bodywork. Careful, guys. Bring under the submission, bring it captive to Christ. It is a wayward thought, perhaps. I'm just going to do my own thing. I'm just going to leave church. I'm not going to tithe. I don't believe in tithing. It's under law. Go there, Nick. Why? First fruits. Jesus is the first fruit of God. You have my son for you. Give me your first fruits. Watch how I'll bless you. Give me your first fruits. I will build the church. I will sustain it. Amen. We sat with our auditors this week. And she said, how does this place work? I'm thinking, how am I going to explain to this lady? She says, what's our guarantees of continuation? I said, God. She said, no, can we talk proper stuff here? So I said, well, for 25 years, we haven't been in debt. People have given tithe. We've paid the bills. We reduced our salaries during COVID, but we've come back. God's good. So what must I say in my audit report? Just say, Jesus says he will build his church. I mean, she's such a delightful lady. And if you are hearing this, Lena, bless you. I mean, I sit there with a mouthful of teeth and thinking, oh my word. Is there a budget? not really. How do we guarantee income? No, we don't. Love it. Moses, how are you going to get these O's out of here? God said, let my people go. Who's God? God is God. There's no peace for the wicked, says the Lord. You see, when we sin, we lose our peace. When we go, we know that. Shalom. Shalom doesn't mean lack of war. It means nothing missing. It means I'm connected. I just want to be in a place of perfect peace. The focus is not the quality of the person, because the whole idea is in you he trusts, not in himself. How do we get into the promised land? Can we just have a? Can all the military guys get together? Can we just try and work out how we're going to go to war? In you we trust. He has told us go over, and so we go over. Amen. Because he trusts in you. I said to the prayer meeting, I would recommend you actually looking at this latest. It's called Testament. I think the story of Moses. It's amazing because you have this man who's kind of just this hybrid Egyptian Jew, born a Jew, brought up by Pharaoh, now married to Midianite, runaway, fugitive, but God appears to him. And the problem is us hyper-charismatics, we don't know if it's God, our imagination, or some other spook. But God appears to him and says, and Moses, it was a proper appearance. Go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go that they may worship me. And it was amazing in this three-part move that's full of problems, but also got some amazing moments, is he just keeps on saying, Pharaoh says, who are you? Who do you, I am God. And then he just keeps on saying this. He says, God said that you must let Israel go so they can worship me. Are you mad? Are you out of your head, Moses? No, I'm just telling you what God has said. It's so cool. It's just, what has God said? Perfect peace means make it good. Make it relationship good. You know, we're fighting a massive war for this word. Guys, we are fighting the West. The Christian nations are at war with the Word of God. They are despising the Word of God. Christians are under pressure. Churches are under pressure. I don't care. Please hold on to this Word. Every jot, every tittle, everything that offends us, all the wokeness, all the liberal stuff, everything that's going on, plus the far right, the anger, the lack of grace, what's happening in Israel and Iran. Listen, we could have a world war anytime. We could have a nuclear bomb go off tomorrow. It's called a black swan. Our economies could dip. Trust in the Word of God. Stand on the Word of God. And even if you get nuked, you will fly into the arms of God. If there is no resurrection, we are to be pitied. But we trust in the Word of God. What else are you going to trust in? Joe Biden. What's his name? Donald Trump. Sunak, who are you going to believe in? Jesus just looks at all this. He looks at the anger. He looks at the bombings. He looks at Russia, and he just says, you know why the churches are filling up? Because people are saying, leaders are crazy, man. They're nuts. I'll stop. It's not subjective, your faith. It's not experiential. It's not circumstantial. Trust in you and what you have said. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is the rock eternal. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord, three times the Lord Yahweh is used there, is the rock eternal. He is not just the rock for Israel now, he is the rock eternal, eternal life. We don't ever get it fully. Amen? Trust in the Lord, the beautiful Proverbs 30, if you all know it by heart. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. That's the trouble with leaders. Leaders keep on trying to burmaka plan. Do not lean on your own understanding. That's why you must go and see what's... There's a guy in this movie. He's the negative guy. He's saying, we can't do this. It's impossible. Why are you leading us down to the sea? You are hemming us in. Pharaoh's going to kill us. Why? Now what's happened? There's no water. There's no food. He's always leaning on his own understanding, and you want to chop his jolly head off because you think, stop it. We need faith here, because God wouldn't have got us this far if he's going to suddenly drop us like a parachute us out of heaven, out of the plane. He's going to keep sustaining us. With all your heart, don't lean on understanding, Nick. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Jesus, we acknowledge you in all of our ways. People say, so how do you get good elders like you've got? I said, don't ask me, but his name is Jesus. He is the one that anoints the elders. How do you get worship? How come people go to Zoom and are so kind and gracious? What is the secret to your success? I don't have one. On our knees, please. On our knees. Everybody on our knees in our prayer meeting. On our knees. Lord, help us. He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Isn't that beautiful? As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. Remember Bob Mumford, that famous old, I think he's a Greek-American preacher? He was lying in his bath and he said, he felt the Lord say, Mumford, you and I are incompatible. Sat up in his bath. And he said, the problem is, I, the Lord, do not change. Praise God. Praise God. I'm not changing. Mumford, my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. Get on board. I must depend on him beyond our human ability. Many trust in the world, in nations, in our jobs, in our finances, in our education, in our jobs, in our friendships. You can't trust in that. It's like paper thin. This deliverance, this salvation may not go the way you think. The Old Testament is the New Testament revealed. They thought, no, what are you doing, God? What are you doing with us? We now have to make straw. They don't give us straw. We've got to go and find our own straw, etc., etc. What are you doing, Lord? Sometimes we don't understand what he is doing, but we depend upon him. He humbles those who dwell on high. Here it comes. Okay, this is for us. This is for the church. This is for Israel. This is for the nations. This is for Babylon. This is for the Assyrians. He humbles those who dwell on high. He lays the lofty city low. Okay, God is going to bring down all the high places. He levels it to the ground and casts it down to the dust. The great drama of the human fall, of sin, of brokenness, of man's obsession, is our obsession with loftiness, with height, with importance, with recognition. With self. Humility is one of the Christian's greatest attributes. One of the greatest attributes of the Christian is deep faith in Jesus and humility. Deep faith in Jesus means, see, this guy believes, man. He's zealous. He's like a lion. He just believes in Jesus. Like Moses. But he was humble because he knew who he was. Full of faith, strong in Christ, steadfast in belief, but humble. This is the enemy. Listen to, you see, at the fall, the snake bit us. At the fall, we all got the poison of the snake. We all got something. Adam and Eve's independence, their loftiness, they wanted to be equal with God. They didn't want to listen to God. We all got some of that, okay? Isaiah 14, verse 12, how you have fallen from heaven, O morning star. This is Isaiah speaking, God speaking through Isaiah about the devil. O son of the dawn, son of the dawn means glorious one. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. Like Pharaoh saying, I'm God. I don't know who your God is. I'm God. I will sit enthroned, listen to this, this is what the devil says, on the mounts of the assembly. So the devil is always looking to sit enthroned in the assembly. He always looking, that's why he goes for churches. He goes for communities. He goes for nations. On the utmost heights of the sacred mountain, Satan goes for sacred things. He goes for the church. He goes for God's things. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Verse 15, but you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. And so we're a people that say, Lord, search me, O God. Know me. It's beautiful to be humble. It's beautiful to stand. That's why, guys, I know some of you still call me Pastor Nick. Just call me Nick. I know it's a title of honor, but just call me Nick. I mean, I hate to see people dishonor pastors. I see it. I mean, I see people criticize pastors and leaders like crazy. Some are doing silly things. I get that. But we're on level ground, amen? Amen, is that okay? The future elders of this church, the sixth generation that's coming, please, guys, be humble. And when your phone starts ringing saying, can you come and we're going to give you $50,000 for the weekend, saying, no, I'm not interested. One guy put up Nick and Cutty Hardy in a billboard in Australia, a friend of ours. And we were on a billboard in Australia. I mean, can you imagine how stupid? Like when you drive into the church, a big billboard, Nick and Cutty Hardy. Oh, my Jesus. Feet trample it down. The feet of the oppressed. The footsteps of the poor. You know these lofty cities? The underside of the destitute and the broken, they're going to trample with their feet. How's that? It is a reference to Israel who are now becoming poor. But actually sometimes God will use the feet of the poor to trample on the cities of the lofty cities. The path of the righteous is level. O upright one, you make the way of the righteous smooth. Striking contrast, okay? Smooth. Good. Valleys are up. Mountains are down. The humble, the steadfast, the one that follow him, the one that says, Lord, I need you. Even though I might be a multi-millionaire, Lord, I need you. Even though I might have a great ministry, Lord, I need you. Even though my kids are like incredibly successful and they all worship Jesus and they all lead churches and they're all, most of them people say, they swoon around you. Humble yourself. Humble yourself, amen? It's level. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Yes, Lord, we're a people that say, yes, Lord, I'm going to Zimbabwe. Yes, Lord, I'm going to Kyrgyzstan. Yes, Lord, Nick, I've called you into ministry. Ah, yes, Lord. I may come kicking and screaming, but come, I will. Walking in the ways, in your beautiful word, the way of God, the Spirit. We wait for you. There's no rushing. There's no patience. I mean, there's patience. It's getting to know you. It's taking time. It's waiting for one another. Each has to keep up. Did you see these little baby elephants born in the Kalahari or these, like this little thing gets spat out and all the mommy and other daddy elephants come for that little thing. When he's got that stuff off him and he's welcome, they start moving. That little baby elephant, they know that baby elephant. You know that I cycled from George, I think it was, to Cape Town. I loved the journey. You know that we walk with God. We don't fly with God. We walk. Yeah, okay, we're going to go from here to here. I want you to walk together. We walk. We get to know one another. You can't rush it. You can't. We walk with the little ones. We walk with the old ones, with the old bulls, the mums, the young ones. We walk together, okay? Yes, Lord, walking in the ways of your Lord, of your laws. It's a beautiful metaphor. It's just, can we walk together? We've been in this church 25 years. I look here at this, even here, and we've walked with some of you. Incredible how we've walked with you through the years. Times may be tough, but we've walked. We've got to love each other, amen. We've got to know each other. We've seen you raise your kids. Your word, your holy law. That's just Isaiah 26, guys. It's just the first 11 verses. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teachings of Christ, does not have God, don't run ahead. I'm just going to run ahead. I'm a Gnostic. I'm special. I'm going to start a new church because this church is horrible. No. I'm going to serve the church. Amen? By faith and patience, they inherited the promises. I'm coming to land. All this walking, waiting, humbling is to experience God. I don't know where God is. He's left me. Wait. Stop. Listen. Meditate. Mature. Increase. What have you called me to, God? I know what you've called me to. I know my gift, but I'm sitting on it. I'm not maturing. Your name and your renown, I'm nearly finished, are the desire of my heart. Listen, there it is again. Your name, not my name, your name, not Red Points. We need a name. I need a name. You need a name. Your business got a name, but be careful. Red Point, Red Point, Red Point, Red Point, Red Point. Shh, shh, shh. The church of Jesus. The church that Jesus is building. Not Red Point. Not your name. Hey, brothers and sisters in Christ, amen. Your name, your renown are the desire of our hearts. The deepest, inner, truest longing. Your renown is your remembrance. It actually is your memorial, actually, the true interpretation. My soul yearns for you in the night. In the morning, my spirit. There's the morning and the night. The night, we get a bit soulish. At night, we get a little bit, Lord, how was my day? Sometimes in the middle of the night, we get woken and the devil comes and starts to throw darts in our brains and they worry about this. And sometimes the night, but he's still saying my spirit. In the morning, it's a new dawn. Gee, the sun rises. Open the word. New day. Okay, forget yesterday. Forget last night. New day. Morning and night. Beautiful pictures, isn't it? Both my spirit longs. My soul yearns. Isn't that beautiful? Fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and perfecter. He starts and he finishes your faith. In verse 9, when your judgments come upon the earth, the people of the world learn righteousness. I'm going to end with this one. Verse 9. Just listen carefully to this. When your judgments come on the earth, the people of the world learn righteousness. What does that mean? One of the things we should long for are the judgments of Christ. This world is spiraling, guys. We think we're going to go to Mars, and we think we're going to do all sorts of things. We think we're going to live forever. Our dear friend Elon Musk, bless him. He's trying the brother, but he must be careful too. The judgments of God is when there's this dean of a faculty or university in America, saw it this morning or last night. The students went nuts. They rebelled. They freaked out. I don't know what's going on. There's just like craziness going on in universities. And she actually got up, this little lady, hair, quite chubby. She just said, okay, all of you students, if you do not disband now and go back to your rooms, and if you're not on campus, that you get off the campus, I will, your tenure here is immediately canceled. You will no longer be part of the university. Now they got loans and all these students. This little auntie, this tiger, this lady that brought judgment and saying, if you don't disband, I will phone the police and they will come and arrest you and take you off campus and you will lose your education and you will forfeit your, I tell you what. And she just walked out. I thought, go, go. And all these, the cops came in. Now you might think, Nick, you know, you're a little bit like right-wing. No, I'm not right-winged. Can we have, this is a university. They're screaming at this lady, this leader, and she just had enough. You see, we need judgment, guys. You know, people are getting killed now. blown to smithereens. Russians, Ukrainians, people from Gaza, and on and on and on. When will it stop when God brings judgment? When does the rubbish stop? Our politicians stealing, cheating, lying, corrupting. We need judgment. We need the judgment of God. Amen? We need the judge to say, wrong, into jail, please. Or stop your ways. Amen? You see, the judgments of God is where we think, can somebody do something on this earth? Am I speaking to myself? That's when the people learn righteousness. Guys, that's just a reading from this morning. That's just 9 verses of Isaiah 26. Won't you stand with me, please? I mean, there's so much there for us to take away. Can I have the band up? If you've got a song, guys. Maybe just as we just stand. You know that Psalm 73, Asaph? Remember Psalm 73? Remember it? Anybody know Psalm 73? It's about one of God's generals. His name is Asaph. He says, I'm beginning to slip. My foot begins to slip. I'm losing my foothold. I envied the arrogant, the proud. They have no worries. And he goes on and on about him suffering, but the unrighteous carrying on doing whatever they want. And they are without a care in the world. And he goes into a whole thing with God. And then I think halfway through the psalm it says, until I entered the sanctuary. It was completely confusing to him until he entered the place of worship. And then he said, and suddenly it dawned upon me that their feet are slipping, that their end is destruction, and their end is trouble. Lord, I want to praise you this morning. I want to praise you for the strength of your word. I want to praise you for your precepts. I want to praise you that your ways is right. I want to praise you that you took a broken slave people and you carried them on eagle's wings across to the promises of God. That you opened a city and you said, come in. Build your church, Jesus. Mature us. Advance us. Thrust us forward. Father, together this morning, I want to say we take responsibility for our faith. All of us. We take responsibility for our faith. Put your anointing upon our shoulders, I pray, so we can do what you would have us to do. We want to honor you. We want to honor your word. We want to honor what you say. We may not understand it. We may be frustrated. We want to say thank you, Lord, for your beautiful word. Make us mature this morning. Make us strong, Lord. Cause us to flee sin and temptation and anarchy in our hearts, and cause us to run into the city of refuge, the city of our God, whose walls and embattlements and ramparts are salvation. In your name we pray.